Well, it's good to see everybody again this evening. I wanted to pick up a little bit about what we mentioned last night. We talked about Jonah, and we realized that Jonah was struggling with his feelings and attitude, and he was angry. And the Lord asked him the question, "Doest thou well to be angry?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even to death." So he had some real struggles. But what I was impressed with is how Jonah told the Lord how he felt. I think sometimes that we feel a little guilty if we're feeling angry or feeling perplexed or troubled. We feel like maybe we're not as victorious as we should be, or we're not maybe where we should be spiritually, and maybe we kind of deny what we're feeling. But I believe the Lord wants us to share with Him where we're at and how we're feeling and what we're struggling with. And I believe He's big enough to handle our feelings. If we are feeling frustrated, hurt, perplexed, if we feel that God has failed us, it's good to let the Lord know that. Talk to Him and let Him know exactly where we're coming from and what we're feeling inside. I believe that's very important, to be honest with ourselves and with God and with others. The title of the message this evening is Battles Are Won Within. We're not in a literal warfare like they was trying to get the land of Canaan, but we're in a spiritual conflict today against darkness, against evil, and we're trying to gain our inheritance, spiritual ground that belongs to us, that God wants us to have in our lives. And it's not going to be easy. There's conflict. There's battles. There's walled cities. There's difficult places. And there, sometimes it's just within our own heart and our mind, in our own mind, our thoughts and the things that has maybe built up for years. That's where the battle, our battles are won within. When we won the battle within, we won the battle without. There's nothing that can overcome us if we're winning the battle within. There's a scripture it talks about. It said, "The spirit of a man can sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" You know, when a person has a physical ailment or physical affliction, his spirit can help him bear up under that. And man has gone through great things. But when we're wounded in our spirit, we're wounded in the innermost part of our being. And we're in a tight place, a difficult place, if we're wounded in our spirit. But the scriptures talk about a wounded spirit. It talks about wounds. And it's very important for us to be able to recognize and see wounds and realize that they're there. We can see that in the physical sense. When a person is wounded, when they're bleeding, profusely, they're not really in a very good place to be able to help someone else. Their energies, their focus is on their wound, their hurt. And it takes up their time, attention, their energy. I want to read us a little bit of a list today. I didn't make this up. This is, I came across it, but it's called The Symptoms of a Wounded Spirit. Symptoms of a wounded spirit. And I was thinking today, if we could see the woundedness, the battle scars, the broken hearts, if our spiritual eyes could see what God sees, I believe we'd be moved with compassion. You know, we only see the surface, we only see the exterior. But God sees where a person has been wounded in their life and in their spirit. And it has an effect. It has a definite effect upon many things in our lives. The way that we think, the way that we see things, the way that we perceive, it affects who we are as a person. And I believe it's very vital for us to recognize this in the lives of other people and also in our own lives, to find healing. If we don't find healing, then we're not able to help those that need healing either. But the symptoms of a wounded spirit, and I'll read this kind of slowly. I want us to think about it. Some of them may relate to us and some of them not. But alcoholism. And I didn't write this list. I came across it. Alcoholism. Drug addiction. Compulsive gambling. Eating disorders. Bulimia and anorexia, eating disorders, perfectionism, overachieving, workaholism, depression, shame, guilt, blaming, am I too loud? Denial, self-centeredness. Did you push this? I forgot all about it. Exaggeration. Immaturity. Low self-esteem. Inhibitions. Controlism. Bitterness. Unforgiveness, sarcasm, negativity, apathy, which is a lack of feeling or emotion, impassiveness, which means a lack of interest. All of these are symptoms and signs that a person's spirit has been wounded. They may have one of these, or they may have several of these working in their lives. But it's a sign and it's an indicator that they've been wounded in their spirit. I want to share a message. Brother Austis Wilson gave a message at Monarch many years ago when my children were younger. I was very moved by the message. In the message, he related how when his sons were young, they would want to play ball with him. Brother Austis said he never took the time. He was too busy in the work of the Lord. He was busy going praying for the sick. He was busy holding revival meetings. And he remembers times, time and time again, that he turned his boys away. And I could tell that message came from deep pain and sorrow of heart. I took that message to heart, and I didn't want that to happen in my family. Not saying I did a perfect job, but we did a lot of things together. I took him camping, took him skiing, took him to the coast. We did a lot of things together. But the area that I failed, that I came short in, was the area of intimacy. Being together is good. That's an important part. And that's where intimacy can occur. But to really be intimate with those that we should be close to, those that God wants us to be intimate with, I really didn't understand intimacy. I feel like I'm learning that more and more all the time, and I'm trying in my own journey to be more vulnerable, more intimate in my communication. Intimacy, I came across the definition, is in to me see. Into me, see. Seeing what's inside of me. Not just the exterior, but getting to know the, when you look it up in the Webster, the root word for intimacy is inner. It has to do with our dreams, our desires, our passions, our goals, our likes, our dislikes, our interest. And that takes intimacy to be able to stop and listen and begin to try to dig those things out and to learn how. There's a scripture talked about, there's understanding in a person, but it says a wise man will know, he'll learn how to draw it out. And that's what we want to endeavor to do, is to know one another better, to become vulnerable, to be open and to be able to share our inner self with God and with those round about us. I believe when it comes to expressing our inner feelings, our emotions, you know, if we're angry, I believe we need to be able to tell the Lord that we're angry. I feel like if we're angry with the person, we need to do the best we can to make it palatable. You know, you just can't, or we shouldn't not use discretion. We want to be able to share our inner feelings with discretion and make it palatable. We don't want to, in a carnal way, just bring it out to put someone else in their place. But we want them to be able to understand what's happening inside of us. When my children were really young, another area that I feel like I made a mistake in, I felt like my correction with my two oldest children was a little bit too strong. If we're not careful, we can close our children's spirits. And we can do it by many different ways. The way that we speak to them, the way that we address them, the way that we discipline them. If we're not careful, we can close their spirit. And I would just like to encourage the younger couples, maybe that are starting their families, that I feel like I use spanking probably a big part of the time. And when I look at spanking now, I believe it's necessary. I believe it's taught in the Scripture. But children are so, when they're so young and they're so small, we're giants in their mind. We're giants in their eyes. And just a little bit sometimes can be so big to them. Something that seems so small to us can be magnified greatly in a child's mind. And it's very vital for us to remember that. And I would just encourage the younger ones, if there's maybe use spanking as the last resort. Sometimes the consequences of a child's failure is correction enough. Sometimes that is. Sometimes they've done things that have humiliated them in front of others. Sometimes that's enough within itself. I'm saying this because I feel like I made a mistake in this area with my two oldest children. We don't want to close their spirit. We want them to feel safe with us. We want them to be able to open their heart. I remember reading not long ago, a few months ago, this testimony of this pastor that he had a guy called him and his wife was divorcing him. And he said, "I need to see you right now." The pastor didn't have time right now. He had his week full. He said, "I can see you next week." The man said, "No, I need to see you now. My wife is divorcing me." He said, "I'm sorry. I'll see you next week." One of the things that he was doing that week was he had on Thursday, he had scheduled an appointment with his son to play basketball with him. I was very challenged when I read that because I would have been very tempted to brush that aside and think that the divorce situation was more important. This man didn't do that. He realized that the appointment with his son was important. And he kept it. And thinking about that thought a little bit more, I thought it probably would have been good for that man to have some quiet time anyway to think about what he needed to be doing in his own life. So I want us encourage us that our association, our families are very vital to put a high value, a high priority on being able to take time for intimacy, to be able to see inside of them and let them to see inside of us. I wanted to say a lot of us have experienced wounds in our life. And I know for my own self, I've had a lot of things, obstacles to overcome from my childhood. I was exposed to a lot of situations and things that children should never have to deal with. But I want to say this about our parents. Parents generally love their children. I thought about the scripture today where prophecy asked Jesus, said, "Whence come these wounds?" And he said, "In the house of my friends." Sometimes it's the closest ones in our lives that bring wounds and hurts. In the house of our friends. When I got older, I realized my mother had been severely wounded in her childhood and her youth. And it's just like a physical wound. She wasn't able to see my need. She wasn't able to meet my need because her needs were not met. We can't give something that we don't have. She didn't have wholeness to impart to me in my life. All she had was brokenness. And she struggled a big part of her life, like many, many people do, trying to figure out their brokenness, trying to make sense of life, trying to put the pieces together. I mentioned earlier, it affects our wounds. If we've been wounded many times, it affects the way we think and see things that happen to us. Many times our perceptions of situations are so faulty because our wounds are blurring our vision. That's darkness. So I want to encourage us with that thought too, that most of the time our parents really did love us. But sometimes they didn't know how to manage with their own wounds in their own life. And it was very difficult for them to even see our need. When there is a wound, I believe Satan does his best to infect that wound with his lies. And so many times we accept his lies. And our wounds become infected. I'd like to turn to Psalms 147th chapter. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. I'm thankful today that there is a remedy. And as I began to think about the Lord binding up, He said here that He would gather together the outcast of Israel. Those that have been cast aside. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. I began to ponder, how does the Lord heal the broken heart? How does He bind up our wounds and give us healing? And there were several things that came to my mind that I would like to mention. I thought about the woman that was taken in adultery, the very act, brought to Jesus. Can you imagine what she felt? Publicly disgraced. Publicly shamed. Jesus asked her a question. He said, "Does no man condemn thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And He said, "Neither do I condemn thee." The message of her life was one of condemnation. It was one of guilt. It was one of brokenness. But Jesus spoke those words to her, "I don't condemn you." Jesus offers forgiveness today for our brokenness. He offers hope. When He told the woman, He said, "Neither do I condemn thee," He told her, He said, "Go and sin no more." That's a message of hope. That's a message of change. That's a message that I can be made new. That's how the Lord is able to help bind and heal the broken heart. When we've been wounded and we've been hurt, it creates feelings. It creates attitudes. It creates hurt, anger, frustration. And we feel in our life that, you know, if our parents, we questioned, I questioned that growing up. I didn't really feel like my mom really loved me. So it made me feel that I'm not lovable. You know, people battle with those inner. The battles are won within. People, the real conflict is in our spirit, in our heart. Another important step in healing and forgiveness In healing of those is being able to forgive those that hurt us. Not intellectually, but from the heart. That's not always easy to do. But that's where healing, the Lord starts the healing process and help. There's another scripture that mentions about the truth making us free. When we come to the Lord, I believe the Lord begins to reveal His Word to us. And we've got to stand and hold on to that Word and trust in that Word. I believe the Lord will personally inspire us with certain scriptures. We want to memorize those scriptures. We want to hold on to them. We want to believe in them with all of our heart, regardless sometimes of how we feel. I believe if the enemy can get us into unbelief and doubting God's love for us, and doubting what God wants to do in our life, it hinders the healing process. It hinders the land that we're able to conquer. So it's very vital to be able to receive God's word and believe on it and stand on it, believe in God's love, even sometimes when we don't feel it. I want to encourage us all with this thought too, that those places when God begins to heal those places in our lives, they can actually become a strong place in our heart and our life for good. It helps us in our ministry to others to be able to feel other people's broken hearts, other people's abuse, other people's emotional neglect. There in the Old Testament, there was a battle where an Egyptian came at one of the children of Israel with a weapon, and I don't remember who it was. But he grabbed the weapon out of the man's hand and was able to defeat him with his own weapon. And I believe the Lord has that for us. The things that Satan has used to destroy us can be turned around in our lives to become a strong point and part of our ministry to others. That's the power of God. I think about the scripture there in Luke, the 4th chapter. It's probably my favorite scripture in the Bible. But in the 18th verse, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. There's no greater prison, no stronger prison than the one that's found in our mind at times. When they went into the land of Canaan, there was mighty walls. There were giants. I want to encourage us all today that there's hope. There's healing. There's healing for marriages. There's healing for relationships. The Lord has healing for us. I do want to say that if we have failed our children in some way, or if we have failed our wife, or someone that we have failed, we want to ask them for forgiveness. When we ask for forgiveness, it starts a healing process. And it's very important for us at those times to man up at those times and say, I'm sorry. I failed you. I wished I would have done better. You're worthy of better. So I pray and trust that these scriptures tonight will be an encouragement to us. And that the Lord would help us to be able to have eyes to hear and see in a greater way those that have been wounded around us. Battles are won within. Thank you this evening. God bless you.